Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher. This is the show where we talk to the people behind the productivity. This week's show is another blab conversation that I had with Steve Dotto and Mike Vardy in front of a live audience on a Wednesday morning. And we talk about Evernote. We talk about what we use it for, how we've got it set up, and a lot of the different things that you can do to train it to be best used by you, on top of how to get started using it or start using it fresh again. If you've used it before and maybe fallen off the wagon, or if you've been using it all along but just been throwing trash in there basically and you don't really want to open up that closet and take a look and see what's in there, we've got some ideas for how to deal with that as well. In other words, digital organization using Evernote. We actually even talk once or twice about Transpose, which I have to pause and say thank you again to Transpose for supporting this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. Transpose is similar to Evernote in a few ways, but more specific in the fact that it can organize your data for business or personal with structure, more so, I think, even than Evernote, to be quite honest. The beauty of Transpose is the fact that it has these templates that you can start from, and that you don't have to start with nothing. You can start by jumping right in after you create your free account into Transpose's public library, especially in the featured collections where you can see curated lists of the best and most creative templates in Transpose, everything from business, journaling, education, productivity. That's why you're listening to this show. Once you grab some of those shared public library templates, you can get right to work filling in your information and organizing it. And it's like jumping in with training wheels and then realizing you don't need them, to be honest. So you really ought to check out Transpose. You can check it out over at beyondthetodolist.com/transpose. Again, if you jump in and start using it, let me know which templates you are using. I would love to hear back from you and take a look at what you're using. I hope to share a collection of my Transpose templates coming soon.
I'd like to welcome everybody to this week's Productivity Power Panel with Mike Vardy, Eric Fisher, and myself, Steve Dotto. We are going to chat about all things productivity related. And if you see me wiggling back and forth, it's because my dog gets very attention focused when I start doing blabs. And when I start recording my videos, he goes, "Oh, that's the time for me to get petted." So he's here.
He's talking so energetically. He must be talking to me.
That's right. just to show people what where is he? There he is. See, he's just sitting here waiting. Saying, "Oh, come on, Steve.
Pet me. There
Pet
you
me
go.
Some more, Steve.
Nice.
Pet me some more. Yes.
You know, you're just encouraging the dog, right? By doing that. Anyway,
do you own a dog?
I used to. We don't own any animals anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, we have two small children.
So, gentlemen, I have had an epiphany as far as Evernote goes.
I built
a new little it's actually a list builder for my channel, but I built an Evernote quick start guide, which I think, and I stole some of these ideas from Michael Hyatt, to be honest, but I think I found the way to get people started using Evernote. You know, because here's the deal with people when people start using Evernote is they always try and overthink things because they think they have to create some sort of structure, some sort of infrastructure because of the notebook. So they're trying to recreate their entire life, their world in Evernote. And you don't have to do that because Evernote has such powerful search. So you can make do with just like an inbox if you want without anything extra. But they try and do too much with it. So are you ready for this? This is magic. Here's how I get people started to use Evernote now is you just create an account, create an inbox, and then create 6 or 7 notes to start. And those notes are thus your license plate number, your partner's sizes and preferences. What perfume does she like? What's her dress size? What's her shoe size? What's her ring size?
Or vice versa.
Take a picture of your furnace filter. Take a picture of your water filter. If you have an under the sink water filter. Take a picture of, your ink cartridges in your printer or your toner cartridges in your printer so that when you need these things, you've got them. And if you just start with that, Evernote suddenly becomes incredibly valuable because where the penny drops for people is when they're out running around and they need a piece of information. They go, "Wait a minute, it's on my phone." And that's where they get it. It's all that investment you make. Isn't that a brilliant concept?
Yeah. I mean, yes. No. I mean, Brett Kelly talks about this in his Evernote Essentials book too, right? He goes through the whole thing, but then he has a bunch of use cases at the end. Like, he has a camping checklist in there, right? So when he goes camping, all the things that he needs to do and what he's done, I think, is same with household inventory. That's another great way to get started, is take a picture of, like, go into one room of your house, or take a picture of, like, if, you know, for insurance purposes, everyone needs to know what kind of stuff they have. So, like, your computers, all that stuff. Like, that's even a good place to start. Like, think of one useful thing that you can.
By the way, we have a brilliant, brilliant guest or visitor today. News media success.
New media success. Yes.
His opinion is gold. His opinion, absolute gold. Just saying.
Yeah. Just saying. Clueless has one in there. Picture of kids' toys with batteries that they need. Laura McMahon,
Crowdsource this one day. We should sit down and crowdsource all of the notes that you should have in Evernote.
Let's just do that topic. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Should we do that?
Do it.
Well, because it does have some relevance to what we were talking about. We were going to talk about anyways, idea capture and all that.
Well, it's capturing and archiving for when you need it in the future. And you don't even have to use Evernote. I mean, you could use something else.
I think the other thing is, we do tend to overcomplicate these tools that can seemingly do everything Evernote can, right? You know, like, there's other ones. Eric, you and I have been talking about Transpose lately.
Yes.
It's another one, right? I mean, it could do so much. I know for me, I've been slowly dipping my toe in trying to figure out what use cases it has. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm sure you've done the same.
Well, I sat in, this isn't meant to be a commercial, but I sat in with one of the creators, a call, showed me what they did. And they said, you could use it to organize your show. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And they showed, you know, they walked through a template, creating a template with me. And then suddenly it was like, oh, I see. I get it.
What app was this for?
It's called Transpose. I just put it in the chat. Here's another thing. It's basically like, I mean, I guess I would describe it as templates that you can use. Like, there's a lot of templates out there, but you can create, like, multifaceted types of forms and notes within, you know, for yourself. And you can publish them to the web. You can embed. It's really quite cool.
It's a forms tool.
It's a forms tool.
I think of it like Evernote, but with predetermined fields for data. And it's got a library of templates, user-generated templates you can grab. So
it's pretty cool. Here's another use case for Evernote, because we're going into National Novel Writing Month, right? Some people on here will know what that is, NaNoWriMo.org, where people take 30 days and they write a novel from beginning to end. Evernote is a great tool to capture all those ideas, all your research and stuff, because you can do the web clipper that was mentioned already as well. The fact that you can clip your research into there and create, like, a research folder, right? A research notebook. Tim Ferriss wrote his entire, not his most recent one, but the one before that, in Evernote. Laura's mentioned a great point in here. Evernote's got that table of contents feature. So you can create tables of contents there. So, I mean, if you want to use Evernote as a writing tool, you could do that as well. And I think that the nice thing about that is that if you are using multiple devices, so, you know, a tablet, you're going to be on the road, let's say, and you want to make sure you have access to this novel or this book that you're working on any place, anytime, anywhere, you could do that with Evernote. So I think that you're right, Steve, to what you start to talk to off the top, is that if you pick just one thing that this tool can do for you, one thing to start. And by the way, Andrew Sinkoff, who you and I both interviewed, Eric, who works for Evernote, he has one notebook. Everything else is tags. So his system is just, this is my notebook and I'll tag everything. I'll tag all the notes inside of it so I can sort it by tag. So there's no wrong or right way to necessarily use Evernote. There's probably some preferred methods. But again, people do have a propensity to, like, say, this tool can do everything, so let me throw everything at it and see what happens. And then we all know what happens for many people.
Yeah, it's not called Everything Note.
Yes. So. Lifcom's using Scrivener for NaNoWriMo. And actually, there's a course called Learn Scrivener Fast that shows you how you can link up Evernote and Scrivener as well. So you can grab your research into Evernote and then bring it into Scrivener as well.
So what are some of those other early, simple...
So the ones that we've got so far are license plates and VIN numbers, which is a good idea. Hectic Daggett actually said we should have pictures of your kids in case they go missing, and he was serious about that.
One thing some people could use it for, but I do not suggest this, is passwords. But
no.
You want a dedicated password manager.
Do not
for that.
Suggest this.
No,
and I'm telling them not to.
No, but some people
may think that's okay.
There's some people
they're wrong.
Some people are using it for that too.
Yeah, some people use a text file.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For vehicle information and stuff and passport information, all that, that goes into 1Password for me. That's where that stuff goes because it's secured.
1Password, other people use LastPass.
Although LastPass was just bought by LogMeIn, so some people are jumping ship off that.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen with that. We should have a quick chat about, because I've never been a huge fan of LogMeIn's business.
No.
What is the other ones we've got are Wi-Fi router screens, taking pictures of Wi-Fi router screens.
Yep, that's definitely useful.
Not a bad idea. So some of these things now, and it does come down to issues of security. You know, some of these things, if you post them online, there could be, of course, Evernote security has been brought into question. And that's probably the biggest hole in Evernote's entire arsenal is their security. The fact that you can encrypt notes, but it's at a note level, and it's, you can't do it by notebook. And so basically that's why we have local notebooks and sync notebooks, is all that personal information should never be stored in the cloud. So you have to be careful about that.
Sorry, I see stuff in there like health, dental, car insurance. Again, there's some notes that you're definitely going to want to be more careful about, right? You know, I mean, I keep insurance papers and all that stuff, again, in a encrypted 1Password, because 1Password has secure notes. And by the way, 1Password is available for both Windows and Mac. It is pricier than some of the other options out there, but not by a long shot. That's where I keep my secure notes, because I just feel that they need to be kept
secure. LastPass, 1Password is the place for it. Yeah. Here's one. I came up with one. Error codes for your appliances. Now, I've got a high-end coffee maker, which I probably should have gotten a coffee before I did this show today. But I've got a high-end coffee maker. It's an espresso machine that's a grinder and all that kind of stuff. It's made by Seiko, the Italian company. It's awesome. It's got a flashing codes if there's an error. And I always have to look them up because the manual is now like history. So
manuals are good to put in Evernote.
Yeah, I was going to say manuals, but even just the page with the error codes, if it's rapid blinking, it's this. If it's slow blinking, it's this, that sort of thing. And manuals is a lot of work, though, putting the whole manual in.
No, drop the PDF in.
Oh, if you could. Oh, yeah. Oh, grab the PDF.
Yeah.
Good point.
I always do that. Every time I buy something new, it comes with a manual, but I always go to the site as I'm doing the stuff. You know, I had a new Wi-Fi router a couple months ago. I instantly went to the site, grabbed the PDF, then threw it up in Evernote. So I always knew how to get to it quickly without having to go back to that site ever again.
Very good.
There's something else I use Evernote for is gift ideas. So what I'll do is I can clip like Amazon pages and stuff like that. And I just tag them with the appropriate person. So that way, when I'm trying to find gift ideas for them, I can go do that. So it really, kind of moves the ball forward quickly when I'm trying to buy gift ideas, try to buy gifts at any time of year for any member of my family.
Oh, okay. That's a neat one. So this is a kids' party invites or stuff from school that need to be remembered later. So I guess, certainly there's no reason you couldn't store that in Evernote. What we're trying to come up with now is this baseline of ideas of things that you always need. The idea, storing emails, invoices, stuff like that, we use Evernote for an awful lot. But I'm looking for these baseline things right now that are just like, oh, that's brilliant. I need that occasionally. I've got, getting access to it.
I'll give you another example. Dealing with coaching clients and even myself who have virtual assistants, I have best practices guides in there because they're living documents. So as they evolve, for example, common email responses that we may want to offer for people who want us to test apps, things like that. So everything in there.
You put that in Slack instead?
No, because I wouldn't create a document. And by the way, you could now for sure if you wanted to. But because Evernote came around way before Slack and I've had a virtual assistant way before Slack came along, having that in there allows me to create this living document. Plus, I can just throw the link into Slack if I want people to read it. I like that because it kind of has a baseline of here's where the manual is. Now, video and stuff, like, so I do screencasting now for some of the stuff that I just I save the links in Dropbox and put those into Slack. But for manuals, I've got this basic notebooks, a notebook stack for my virtual assistant. And one is like email practices. One is, there's a couple other things that I can't remember them offhand right now, but having that in there allows me to update it as needed. And so that way, when a new virtual assistant, if I need a new assistant or I want to diversify my portfolio and have somebody else do something else, I can just grab those individual notes, put them into another notebook and share that notebook with this other assistant if I want. So it creates this basically it's an operating manual for my business.
Laura McMom says that she puts all the receipts for her business expenses in Evernote with the 2015 taxes or a tag like that. And then she can just do a search. I do it as well. And as a matter of fact, I use the Evernote camera or scannable when I'm on the road doing speaking engagements, taking pictures of all of my receipts. And the cool thing is Evernote geotags those at the same time. So I can just go, I was in Calgary. I can just click on all the notes created in Calgary and it pulls all of those receipts together into one thing. And then using the table of contents, you can actually build a little roster of all of the, of all of those notes for your account. It's a pretty cool way to do it.
Laura is an incredibly smart woman.
Hey, let's give her a shout out because she does a productivity podcast.
Yeah,
does
she?
The Productive Woman. It's Laura McClellan. Theproductivewoman.com.
I think that's what it is.
I'm following her right now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. She's awesome. She's
yes. Yeah. Mike and I did a meetup with her the night before Podcast Movement this past summer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well, she should become a semi-regular on this show, like replace and when you guys aren't available to get a little gender neutrality.
Yes.
This is the thing when it comes to getting into a tool like Evernote or this applies to a whole swath of tools is pick like something simple that you can use it for and then know that that's where that thing is. And then that way you go back to it consistently and then you grow from there as to, okay, well, how else can I use the thing? Now that I'm comfortable using it for this, how can I use it for this? And it just keeps going. I mean, it consistent use breeds, you know, expertise in the tool, breeds or comfort, then breeds expertise. And then all of a sudden you're feeling, okay, well, you know what else I could do in here is I could do this or I could do that. There's a lot, like someone mentioned light bulb stuff. Yeah, that's a great idea because there's so many different light bulbs all out the there now.
Connectors. You can't remember them all. You know, in the kitchen, under the sink, which is it the screw-in mini or is it the bayonet type with the two prongs or is it the Yeah. Here's another one. I'm on a roll. Boxes, packing boxes. If you're putting anything in the garage and you're putting it inside a box, you take a picture of the box. I mean, a lot of people will put that picture on the outside of the box too, especially at times like Christmas when you've got your ornaments and stuff that you're packing away, remembering which box is which.
Well, Halloween decorations just came out the other day for me, and I have a picture of that. Yep. So we basically had Todoist told me to put out Halloween decorations, and inside it is a link to an Evernote note that tells me what the box looks like. That way I could go into the underneath of the house and just grab and actually there's two boxes.
So. Rick Wolf says he's dressing like the Evernote icon for Halloween.
I always dress like the Evernote icon.
There was a good question. Hectic Dag said, so what would be baseline notebooks if you don't want to start with just the one inbox notebook in Evernote?
Inbox, personal business. That would be the starting, the most baseline.
Yeah, I'd say so. The other one you could have is family if you wanted to.
Because that's not personal?
Well, it just segments out a little bit more.
Oh, that's yes, fair enough. But yeah, that's what I recommend is just those three.
That's too broad. The next level. The thing is, again, Hectic Dad, is that, I mean, again, back to Andrew's point of like, he has one notebook and uses tags. So I think that it might be better for you. I mean, remember, there is a notebook limit, which people get to. I've come across a number of people who have like got notebooks and notebook stacks and all that stuff, and that's fine. Initially, beyond those three, I would look at tagging more. And then if you feel you need to add another notebook, do that. Because the search in Evernote is so powerful, I would be using tags first. Get comfortable with those. And then, okay, you know what? I need to have a notebook for a particular project, let's say, or a particular...
Michael Hyatt has the best or a very good system that gets people thinking about being uber organized.
Yeah, throw that in there.
His other question is, then what tags are useful?
Okay, well, that's what's in it.
That's super subjective. I mean,
and it's the style you choose.
I also think you should do a trick that Merlin Mann has utilized, which is to make your tags have like a letter at the end of it that makes the tag not a word but more metadata. So instead of putting like camping, put camping X, because then when you're searching for it, you can actually find it a lot easier.
And it becomes your own personal system as well. I mean, just because I think that the templates that you find out there from other people's Evernote accounts, as far as the structure, Hectic Dad, I mean, it becomes a very personal thing. We'll return to the notebooks in a moment, but I want to make sure we answer the question. Somebody asked if we go out and delete old notebooks and clean things up.
Yeah.
I do. I fairly regularly clean up my notebooks and clean out my Evernote notes because I store everything in the inbox and then I basically use it to triage. And there's a lot of very temporary stuff that I just throw out that I only want there temporarily. And I throw it out. But typically I do that when I jump on a plane. I make sure it's all synced up. It's light work. You know, and if you've got 2 hours sitting on a plane, and you don't feel like writing a lot on the plane just because of the way that the seats work and stuff, but you can easily use a mouse and just be going through and delete notes and move them into the right area and add a few tags.
Yeah.
And I basically do a little bit of maintenance on it at that point there. But when I look at my notebook structure, just everybody is going to be different. I have an inbox, which is a clearinghouse. I have one called Dottotech Content, which is all of the content and the research or all of the stuff around my brand. I've got another one for webinars and online courses for all of the content that goes into those. That's an entire notebook. Then I have one for projects and clients, things that I'm thinking about doing in the future or ideas and any client work that I have, which is very few. I have very few clients. Then I have a research stack where I just put all of the swipe files that I steal. Like if somebody sends me a great email that I open and read and say, well, that's a really well-composed email, I'll store that there so that I can steal that idea when I'm about to send an email. So I've got all my swipe copy there. And then I've got an administration stack that has all of my accounting information and anything that's business related. That's my structure, 7 notebooks.
Okay. Eric, what about you?
Mine's very similar, except I have one key piece that is a notebook in there called Just-in-Time Learning, which is what I've now recently renamed it.
Who's the one that talks about just-in-time learning again?
It's Jeremy Fransden, if that's how you say his name. I should probably open that up on Facebook. I just saw him.
Did Chase Reeves talk about this or somebody in Facebook?
Somebody recently,
it might have been Corbett.
Yeah, somebody talked about it. Somebody said it was Pat Flynn, but Pat Flynn has said he learned it from Jeremy Fransden. But what just-in-time learning is you know how there's a million and one things out there that we all know that we need to learn to do. Well, we can't do all of them. Jeremy Fransden. Yes, there it is. And he is...
This is very Tim Ferriss.
Not saying. But what it is it's saying, okay, when I'm ready to learn this thing, which is not right now, this is an article or a podcast or a something. I web clip these things and send them right to this just-in-time learning because it's like, okay, well, to quote Rory Vaden, I am procrastinating on this on purpose.
Right.
I am putting it away for the right place, the right time, so that when it's the right time to pull that out and learn all about that, it's in that notebook and I'm ready to go get it. But for right now, then I can feel like my RAM cycles aren't spinning on it, thinking, man, I wish I was working on that, or I wish I was learning it, or I don't have time to do all these things that are learning.
It's kind of a segmented someday maybe list.
Yeah, in a way. It's a more intentional someday maybe because it's purposeful in terms of I know that I need to pick up enough of that skill to then implement that in my stuff, but it's not right now.
And I think in a similar way, one of the techniques that I use is instead of having all the notebooks, is I've got a few open format notes where I collect information. So I've got one called Demo Ideas, which are just all of the different ideas that I have for demos. And it's just an open, and I keep it in the shortcuts bar in Evernote so that I've always got access to it when I'm having to make new demos, when I'm having to make new videos. So anytime that anybody suggests a topic for one of my videos, it goes in there. Similarly, I've got this new show that I'm doing or this new thing I'm doing called Ask Dottotech, where in YouTube, people are constantly asking me questions. And then I'm doing a kind of a digest show answering a whole series of questions. It's turning out great. But what I do there is I web clip their question directly out of YouTube comments, and I drop it in a note called Ask Dottotech. And then I actually use those web clippings, and I use that note as a backdrop in the video. So I just read through them and go through them so I don't have to do a lot of editing, pulling all this stuff together. So it's just kind of an economy of scale thing. But those using the Evernote shortcuts and putting the proper notes into shortcuts, big time saver.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I have something similar for blog post ideas. So what I'll do is I actually have a notebook for blog post ideas, though. And I use a tool called Drafts on iOS. I know, Eric, you use it. I don't know, Steve, if you do. But basically, anytime I have an idea for a blog post, it'll go into Drafts if I'm on my mobile device, and then I'll send it to Evernote to put in that notebook particularly. And that's shortcutted at the top. So anytime I want to pick up an idea for a blog idea or post topic that I might want to cover, I just go to that notebook. Hectic Dad also wanted to know, like, he's not letting us off the hook. You've talked about the different notebooks, Steve, the 7 that you've kind of got going. You know, I think that again, Hectic Dad, it boils down to comfort level. Like, I mean, if you feel like you can only get away with, you know, if you want to have more than just a personal notebook, but maybe what you do is you say, okay, you know what, for personal, I'm going to have it for every room of the house. So things that happen in the kitchen go here. Things that happen in the family room go here. Whatever inventory that's in the family room, whatever you want it to be. For me, I have notebook stacks that contain productivity as stuff, but I also have a notebook stack for books that I'm working on. And inside it, I'll have like 4 or 5 of those. courses. I have a courses notebook or notebook stack that has the different courses that I'm working on. I think it's hard for us to say, this is how many notebooks you actually have to have, and that's it. It's so difficult. And the problem is that as soon as we start going down that rabbit hole, all of a sudden people go, whoa, 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 whoa. And then they run away from the tool screaming.
Well, because some people overcomplicate things, Mike Vardy.
Yes, some people do.
Not pointing at anybody.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing, is that what's overcomplicated for me isn't going to be overcomplicated for you guys. You know, so
it is completely overcomplicated.
Or it is going to be overcomplicated, right? Yeah. Like it's all relative.
Everything you do is overcomplicated.
It's relative. So, I mean, I think it's a matter of being comfortable. And
you should name your podcast The Overcomplicated Productivityist.
I could. Productivityist is already hard enough to say.
The Overcomplicatedist.
Yes.
Said that wrong.
A question. Somebody says, any of you guys still use paper?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, but not like Evernote.
And to quote one of our people before, that's what I use in the bathroom. Yes.
Absolutely, I still use paper. I've got a paper notebook right here. I've got tons of them. There's a whole bunch behind me. They're off to the left there, but you can't really see them. But
I got a piece of paper around here somewhere.
I use paper all the time. I mean, that's one of my initial capture devices. And then if I want to capture that paper into Evernote, I'll take a picture of it with Scannable and put it in Evernote.
Yes. My son discovered the beauties of Scannable this week. He was sending his university transcripts to people. He said, Dad, do you have a scanner? I said, no, I don't have a scanner anymore. He goes, what do you do? I said, I use my phone. And he says, this is awesome. He says, you can't even tell it wasn't scanned.
I actually enjoy going to a different location and sitting down with an open paper notebook and a pen and just capturing that way while I sip my coffee.
Do you have good handwriting, Eric?
I have horrible handwriting, but I still work
for that. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious because I wonder what percentage of people with bad handwriting actually enjoy note taking by hand. I bet you it's a much lower percentage than those that have. It might be a bit of a.
Well, and you know what? Some people like Mike Rohde wrote the Sketchnote Handbook and the Sketchnote Workbook. I mean, he's one of those guys that sketchnoting has become a big thing now where people are starting to use that to take notes as well. So they're documenting, you know, their notes using the Sketchnote method. So for people who don't have great handwriting or printing, they are using that to kind of, you know, orchestrate notes and stuff like that. And I think it's a phenomenal way to go if you've never tried it and you want to use paper. I mean, what Mike's done, and I mean, he's not alone, but he's definitely one of the more popular folks in this space. It's phenomenal, Eric. What do you think?
I wish that I was so good to be able to sketchnote.
Yeah, and he walks through how to get better at it in these books. But I mean, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I do that from time to time. For talks, I will sit and sketchnote most of them now.
I might try that. I might actually pick that up. That's one of those things where I'm already making
it,
a mess.
Put it in your just in time.
There you go. See, that's exactly it. It'd be like, you know, exactly that.
We have a question from Tina Duggar, who likes to be called Gammy. She says, in a notebook that is labeled client, can you then divide them with each client? Well, the way that I would do that is just through tags, through adding a client tag to each one. So they would all be stored in the notebook, but you could sort by tags. Your other option would be to have a notebook stack named clients, and then within that have a series of notebooks for each of your clients. Those would be the two ways that you could kind of differentiate the content in Evernote. Guys?
I think you just have to use tags. I mentioned that in the chat. Like, yeah, basically, if you're going to do that, then use tags for each client. And preferably, if it's client, remember, these are publicly, it depends on what you do. You may not want to have their names in there. You may want to give yourself, and this is where it gets, again, could be overcomplicated, is you may have to create a numbered system for your clients or a code system, because again, that information is going out and being synced across multiple devices and stuff, and it's going to the cloud. I mean, for coaching, I use Evernote to store my notes with them, but each client has a code. So that way I know what each client's initial like code is. So I'm not putting their names in there because of, you know, you want to be a little bit more cognizant of privacy and secrecy and stuff.
That's a good point. Do either of you take advantage of the Moleskine notebook and taking pictures of your using it as a digest and then taking pictures of it and storing them in Evernote, scanning them in? You do it. Now, do you have a routine? Do you have a routine where you take a picture of it every day?
When a page is full, I take a picture of it.
See, I wonder about people that do this a lot. Why there hasn't been a Kickstarter campaign or something that has some sort of a scanning. You remember how they used to have the overhead projector type thing with it?
Yep.
That thing to hold your phone and to hold the notebook so you don't have to, because it's inconsistent. when we use the Evernote camera or the Evernote camera is what you're going to use if you're using the Moleskine with all of the tags. It's inconsistent with your focus and how you in the angle that you hold it. So wouldn't it be nice to have some sort of framework to work
that
with?
Someone in the chat should take your idea and make make that stand for it. Then
it's a Kickstarter. It's a Kickstarter opportunity.
Yep. Yeah, I would say that it's definitely an opportunity. And by the way, I don't take if I look at the page before I take a picture of it too. If it's something that I don't feel needs to be on there, I'll either cross it off or just won't take a picture of that page. So I'll clarify that a bit. And thanks, Laura. I'm glad you approve of my coding instead of using names. I think it's really important. I think you have to keep that stuff in mind.
And Rick Wolf mentioned something. He said that he's fallen out of the Evernote habit, and he did face to palm because he realized that he's got his stuff everywhere. And that is exactly what I always say Evernote is. It's a habit, and you have to get into the habit of doing it and having it open all the time and using it. And just, you know, for me, I think the utility that I use the most on my in my web browser, far and away, is the Evernote Web Clipper. I clip stuff all the time, and I'm always grabbing stuff and throwing it over into Evernote.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yes, I think there is a limited number of new media success. There is a limit to the number of tools you can use day to day. But I think that, again, much like Eric mentioned about the just-in-time learning, I think that for people who aren't spending all their days like Steve and Eric and myself using these tools, you may want to have like, okay, I want to learn how to use Evernote better. So I'm going to put this in, I'm going to clip this into Evernote, all these articles about Evernote so I can learn it better. I'm going to clip all these articles about Asana and learn how to use it better, or Todoist or Sunrise or whatever. You know, I think that there's ways to do it because I think eventually you figure out what tools are going to work best for you on a daily basis. And mine, I mean, I can look to the Web Clipper immediately and see them like 1Password, Asana, Todoist, Evernote, Instapaper is there, Buffer is there, you know, all those are there. So I think that it almost happens somewhat by default after a while where you're like, okay, these are the tools I'm using every single day.
This is a great one. I would love to puzzle through this. Hectic Dad says his stumbling block is that he's got, he started with basic notebooks and a few tags. Now he's got 12 years of Evernote content.
No, that's a ton. 2 years.
A ton. Oh, it's a bracket. 2 years. I thought it was 12 years. How could it be 12? That would be a long time for Evernote.
Maybe stuff from
still 2 years worth of Evernote content. And he has to retroactively apply structure to it in deciding how hard it is.
Tags. Because what you can do is you search for, so think about the thing that you want to search for, Hectic Dad. Like, so, okay, say it's manuals. Let's just use the term manual. Say you've scanned all these manuals. Type in the word manual into the search bar, find all the things that have manual and then, you know, do that. Tag them accordingly. Say, okay, these are all manuals. Do it that way. Once you've got so many notes and a few tags, the best way to do it is to go into tags. Because again, you have 2 years worth of stuff and you have unlimited amount of tags you can use, but you only have 256 notebooks. The allure of creating notebooks for each is going to be really, really high. But don't do that. Go the tag route and just use the search function as a way to kind of segment it out and do it bit by bit. You don't have to do it all in.
If you've got a notebook, sit down while you're watching the ball game.
Yeah,
I do this all the time with a notebook in your lap and just go from note to note. And then I think it's just function key T brings up the, you know, it starts to apply a tag. So you look at a note and you go, oh, that is, you know, that is accounting, function T accounting. And then you might say the year, function key T, start typing in the year. And the tags that you have will pop up. If you don't have an appropriate tag, you then think for a second and create a tag. But this is normal. This is pretty light lifting. What do you call this stuff in your... Mike has a term for every type of work he does. He's got work that he has to think hard on.
And brain, I call this is brain dead stuff to me.
Exactly. And but you can do it if, you know...
Yeah, you can go whatever you want.
Watching the baseball game, if you're a baseball fan.
Low energy. It's low hanging fruit. And the other thing is that if you want to make sure you're doing it consistently, take your task management app that you're using and create a recurring task in there. Say, apply Evernote tags, you know, and make it a recurring task until it's all done. It's the same thing. I mean, I still have in Todoist, it tells me every week to go through Evernote inbox and clean up, go through Evernote notebooks and clean, you know, like I have these recurring tasks because I don't have to think about them. So again, use those two coupled together. If you want to improve your Evernote experience or you want to improve any app experience and you want to get better at it, and you want to organize it better, create a recurring task in your task management app until you've done that. And then you're done. The problem is so many people go, I got to get this done. And then they make it a single task and they're like, okay, I'm going to work on this. And then they work on it until it's not done, or they work until they hate it and then they don't want to do it anymore. So make it a recurring task and work on it. Like, do a Pomodoro on it if you want, like take 25 minutes and do it.
And the one thing I want to butt in right here real quick and say is, I think exactly what you described, Steve, whatever your version of sitting down and, you know, with the ball game in your notebook is, that is the type of quote unquote multitasking that we do endorse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I recently did a podcast for my Patreon supporters about like the multi, like when you don't, like my daughter was, I was waiting for my daughter for a field trip. She was coming back from Vancouver. And I was outside for about 20 minutes and I recorded a episode of my podcast saying, look, I'm waiting for my daughter, which means I'm doing something. It's very passive, but I'm going to do something else while I wait. If you're on a plane, Steve, you're going somewhere at the same time when you're doing this Evernote stuff. If you're watching the ball game, you could do the same thing. If I've got that Fit desk, I could do the same thing, right? I could sit there and write and pedal the bike at the same time. I mean, there is some things that you can definitely do, take advantage of. And I know you're going to make fun of me for that.
Nothing but props, Mike. Let's do a quick straw poll of our audience. I want to know, first of all, how many of you use Evernote and how many of you don't? Just give us a yes or a no if you use Evernote or no.
Yep. Everybody does.
No, there's a few.
No, one says Nevernote. Don't.
Yep. I mean, some people might be in OneNote or some people might not use it at all. Now, of those of you who said yes, thank you. Oh, wow. This is great.
There's a lot of yeses.
Yes. Of those of you that are yes, how many of you is Evernote essential or just simply convenient?
Why else would
like we be here? Sorry?
Rick's like, why else would we be here? Convenient, essential. Yeah.
I'm just curious. And then we're going to ask one last question.
I wonder if, yeah, see, I think Carly's got it right. Like, I think it's convenient for people at first. Then to be
on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being incredibly well organized, find everything I need, have it locked and loaded, and 1 being, hush, shoot, I just throw stuff in there. Sometimes I find it, sometimes I don't. I can't even remember sometimes if I threw it in there. What sort of Evernote user are you? 10, total control. 1, your head's underwater half the time.
Out of control. 5, 4, yeah.
7s, some 5s, 4s.
1.1.
I'm confused.
I'm confused. Okay. That's good. Well, that's interesting. Yeah,
Cars goes to 11. Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
That's one note. One note goes to 11. Evernote only goes to 10. Gotta love this.
Oh, yeah. IFTTT stopped working with it as of today. When did that happen?
That may be your own recipes or some kind of disconnect in your own account.
Unless it literally has done that as of today.
What's that? I missed that.
She's Classy Podcast is saying that if this, then that doesn't work with it as of today.
Mm.
No, I'm not seeing
anything.
She
said she got an email.
Oh, she got an email. Interesting.
The Evernote channel is closed.
Yeah. To who sent the email? Was it Evernote or if this, then that?
It would have been if this and that, probably.
Yeah, Evernote. Do they ever communicate other than to tell us that they've laying people off? Have either of you guys ever had any conversation with anybody inside at Evernote?
We both interviewed Andrew Sinkoff. Didn't you, Eric? Did you interview him?
It was if this, then that sent it. That's interesting. So they're choosing it?
And it says reconnect channel. So let me see if I can reconnect it. I'm actually in if this and that. Yeah, we both talked to somebody.
It's still here, though. You go to ifttt.com/Evernote, and it's still right up there on the site. On if this, then that's
well, and I just reconnect.
So they've not.
Yeah, you know what? It's absolutely right. I just tried to reconnect the channel, and it's not letting me. So
too bad.
It's an Evernote. It's saying reauthorize it for 1 year. I'm trying to. It won't let me do it. So something's going on there, which I imagine if it's not working for if this and that, probably Zapier as well.
Hectic Dads is still working. It's still connected. Mine seems to be okay.
I just tried to reconnect and it said new. Tried
to reconnect. Okay. Just out of curiosity, we also had T-Muse1 asked, interested how many people are paying for Evernote versus Basic. So if you're free, just put in a 1. And if you're paying, put in a dollar sign or premium, whatever you are. Free
or business. There's business too.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of paying anything for it as long as you're paying. You know, I think that the one thing that Evernote did brilliantly.
Well, a classy podcast, the reason you might not have, the thing is that yours might not work is because, well, I'm paying though, so I don't know why it wouldn't work.
It might be premium. They might have switched it over.
Yeah, but I'm paying, so it shouldn't affect you.
Yeah, because you still can't connect. That's true.
No, I can't connect.
Incoming changes to the Evernote channel. The new shared note trigger will be removed tomorrow, which is 10/28, along with recipes. Okay,
so there must be some changes to Evernote that's going on. There must be some API changes.
But it does say stay tuned for exciting news coming soon. So that must mean that
they're adding an extra T to IFTTT.
No, or
they're adding an E.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the premium benefits are, Sylvia, the reason is the email to notes immediately, right? Like that emailing to notes option is what I would say.
That's what I was going to say. That's the main reason premium is emailing to notes is the big thing. I've got to make a note here. What was the name of that app that you guys started out by talking about?
Transpose.
Yeah.
Transpose. Sounds like something I should be doing a demo on. I'm going to add it to my to research for my demo.
Yeah, it's pretty quite cool. So yeah,
it's pretty quite cool.
And it's pretty quite cool. It's pretty quite cool. Rick mentions that Evernote threw him a curve when they took away features from free. So I got ready for its demise. I think that I got three emails this week from people saying, "What should I do about Evernote because of all this news and stuff?" I think everyone needs to like calm down a bit about it. I think this is not unusual in the startup world. When I was writing for the Next Web and stuff like that, this happened a lot. And I think that yes, maybe the bloom is off the rose a little bit when it comes to what Evernote had to offer. I mean, they've restructured, they've got a new CEO. They got rid of Evernote Food, they've got rid of Evernote Hello. They're really trying. The same thing is happening to Twitter right now to a certain extent as well, right? Like, I mean, there's lots of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So just hold on and if Evernote does go away or gets acquired, there will be like, and I'm just saying, Steve, if that happens, I'm not saying it will at all. They're just like every other tool that's been out there, including SpringPad, which a lot of people are saying, well, look what happened to SpringPad. Well, first off, SpringPad didn't charge ever, which is part of the problem.
Right.
And number two, they offered export options. So what's going to happen is if Evernote does decide, okay, we're out, that's it, we're selling, there will be export options. They would not be willing. I mean, they've got this 100-year-old company in mind. That's the philosophy that they built the company on. I think everyone's kind of like, whoa, that's it. I'm out. I'm getting out because of these things going on. I think that you need to be a bit, don't freak out about this. Fine.
Exactly. And a company laying off part of its workforce when it's the size of an Evernote, that's, that is not the, as Mike says, that's definitely not the end of the world. I didn't think for a second that the fact that Evernote was restructuring, especially after a change at the top, I didn't think for a second that was imminent, that was any indicator at all of Evernote being in trouble. In fact, I think it's a healthy thing for a company like Evernote, certainly under new leadership, to reorganize itself and restructure itself. And I love the fact that Evernote got rid of some of the real crap that it was doing. I mean, who figured, did anybody use Evernote Food?
A few people did. I didn't. I tried it. I'm like, why would I use this?
And they've got a whole division that would have been dedicated to it. They had people that had to work on that product.
You mean except the guy that started it used it? Probably. Hey, what if I took pictures of my food and shared it in this? Yeah, and then Pinterest came along. Or Instagram.
Instagram, right.
Instagram. Or Facebook. Status updates.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I think that, I think Clueless has got, like, let's see what they do. I mean, they've just changed the IFTTT channel, which is, I mean, and again, this is another reason why automation is always something you got to keep your eye on, because I don't automate a lot because I'm always concerned that something could break. I mean, luckily, thanks to whoever put that in there, by the way, was it Classy Podcast to put it in there? Because now everyone's going to be looking to say, okay, do I have an IFTTT channel set up? And then what that also does is it makes them look to see if any of their other IFTTT things are starting to break, which again might be worth putting in your task app. Hey, check automation recipes to make sure they're still working. Again, I think that we're Phil is still there, but him and the team were wise enough to know, hey, look, you know what? If we want to grow this thing and make it better, we're going to need somebody else on board to write the ship. Maybe the guy, the person they brought on board isn't the right person right now, but we're not going to know until they give it a go. So I'm happy with Evernote. And someone also mentioned paying for the service helps keep it healthy and keep it around. We've talked about this before. If you're not paying for an app or service and it goes away, and they've given you an option to pay for it, and it's what, like $9, $5, whatever it is a month, or even just $10 for the app itself, then that's part of the reason that it went away. You had an option to pay, and most people are so hesitant to pay for apps these days, and there's so many free options. If you like an app and there's an option to pay for it and you want to keep it around, pay for it.
And that goes back to, for that matter, that's what goes back to the fact that when we were talking about earlier, the password management stuff, that's why I love 1Password, is because they make you pay a little bit, but then it works across every, and I, you know, honestly, I was unaware. They were originally Mac only and iOS only, and I did not know they were now PC and Android as well, which is great. So that's really awesome.
I'm concerned that they're also now Log Me In.
Yeah,
Password only.
Oh, 1Password. Yeah, 1Password.
1Password, not LastPass.
Yeah, 1Password became a Windows app a while ago and Android only recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, but again, it's what, $40 for 1Password or something like that, if that?
Yeah, but again, you pay for it and then you're only going to pay another substantial chunk at some point to support them again when they do a major upgrade and, you know, change, you know, add new features, make it better.
There's a reason why OmniFocus for the Mac is still around. I mean, they charge a lot of money for their stuff, but it works and they use it really well. You know, so I mean, I think again, it boils down to, you know, and Evernote they've pivoted clearly to, you know, they're saying, hey, we have more tiers now. They're giving people more ability to pay less if they want. Dropbox is another service. I mean, Dropbox, I pay for Dropbox because I want to make sure everything's there. I want to make sure it's safe. If you're using an app and it's got the ability to pay for it, Todoist is another one that I use and I pay for. Asana, I don't need to pay for because I don't need it for, I have less than 15 people on my team. But if I was in a larger scale, I would, you know, so it's again, gauge it. And then the other thing to keep in mind is occasionally audit your apps to make sure that you're using them. If you are paying for some that are month to month, you know, like there's some tools out there, like I've got Hootsuite and Buffer and Edgar. Well, one of them is I stopped paying for Hootsuite a while ago because I use Edgar and Buffer a lot more. Right. So, I mean, again, you can decide, make that decision, but please support these third party developers because they will get swallowed up. And then what you've got, all your stuff that's in there, you know, I mean, again, you'll have to move it around.
So we're at about the 5 minute mark.
Just building the new next week's show.
Oh yes, good call.
So that people can register.
What did everybody think?
You're both on next week.
Yeah. What did everybody think of this? By the way, yeah, Edgar, I'll put that in the. What did everybody think about this topic? What do you guys think? Yeah. No, you're not locked into a contract
with us
for Evernote. No.
Oh no, you are with us. You must come next week.
Yes, you must come next
week. I think that this was a great topic. We weren't even planning on talking about this per se.
No, we had another variation.
So I
can't remember what you planned on.
It was idea capture, and we ended up
We can still do it next week.
Now I'm not going to decide on the topic because now I'm awake. But when I first start, I'm not awake. So you guys need to kind of like push.
But you suggested last week's topic.
I know,
and while you were awake at the end of the show,
that's why I'm not. So I'm see. I learned. I learned from my mistakes. And going forward, I will let you guys like decide and I will make the suggestions and I'll kind of go, yep, I'm good with that. Do a topic on that new media success.
No,
we will not.
We've covered this. Where would you like to see us go next?
And Hectic Dad's absolutely right. Good discussion and even better chat room. Thank you so much for being so interactive in that.
I think
those are awesome.
Yeah.
I think sharing ideas like this is the way. I like this. This was fun today.
We have not talked about rituals and routines, I don't think, yet, have we, guys?
We certainly haven't talked about routines and rituals, no. Thanks for everybody that's been tuned in to our productivity powerhouse.
So, what do you think? Do you think you're going to get started and use Evernote again or in a new way? Or if you've already been using it all along, what stuck out to you the most from what we suggested or what people were asking in terms of how to use it? I would love to hear from you. Check out the show notes for this episode over at beyondthetodolist.com/115. That's 115. Go there, leave a comment, let me know. What are you using Evernote for right now? What's your biggest hang-up when it comes to Evernote? And, or, what was the biggest thing you got out of this episode in terms of using Evernote? Thanks again for listening. Make sure to check out the sponsor that supported this episode of Beyond the To-Do List by going over to beyondthetodolist.com/transpose. And again, make sure to let me know which ones you grab And again, jump over there to grab your free account at beyondthetodolist.com/transpose. Thanks again for listening to this episode. If you got benefit from this episode, think of that one person who needs to hear more about fixing their Evernote and shoot it to them. And support the show in iTunes by going to beyondthetodolist.com/iTunes and leave a rating or a review. It helps us get found. It lets others know how to find the show, and it lets me know how I'm doing. Thanks again. See you next episode. Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast. Theorize over the TV shows Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, and Under the Dome. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.